Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to the Nerd Nest, everybody. I'm Bill, and on today's episode, I'm joined by Rich, I'm joined by Russ, and we also have special guest Gardner Bryant, who joined the show to talk about his new game. I've played it, and I'm here to tell you, it's really good. We talked about that, the other games that we've been playing this week, how Sony is somehow taking a fantastic game and turning it into a fiasco. We played a trivia game on the show, and then we talked about how Valve took yet another step towards SteamOS for everybody. This is a really great episode that I've got for you today, so let's start right now. Hey, everybody, welcome back to the Nerd Nest podcast. I'm Bill. Over there, we've got Rich. Down there, we've got Gardner. And over there, we've got Russ. How are you guys doing today? Gardner, first time on the show. Welcome. Happy to have you here.
Thank you for having me. I've been really excited about this.
So for those of you that don't know, Gardner is, what's today? Oh, yeah, you're about to release a game, right?
Yeah, as of recording, my new game, Doodlings Arcade Sports Ball, comes out tomorrow on Steam.
And because all of you people are in the future, it will have just come out yesterday. And so you will be able to go and pick that up. So that's the reason that I invited Gardner on, is because it was actually, where is he? There he is. Rich's idea. He mentioned it, and I was like, well, that's a great idea. I wanted to help him promote this game. He sent me a copy. I played it for probably about an hour at this point, but give everybody the elevator pitch for your game, because it's actually really cool.
Okay, so to put it simply, it's basically Pong meets foosball. There's a row of characters at the bottom of the screen, and up to two players can select one of the characters at a time, and you can make them jump to try to get the ball into the hole. It's really fun. It's quite simple, but there's some depth to it that I appreciate. And when you play against the AI, or when you play against a human, it can become quite fun and addicting and frustrating all at the same time.
Yeah, it reminds me of that game that, you know, is fun to play at like a kid's birthday party, where you got a bunch of balloons and you're just trying to keep the balloon in the air for as long as possible. Mm-hmm. Very cool. Very cool game. I had a blast with it. Rich, you said you had a bunch of questions about game development.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, to start, right, I played it for, when I first got it, a good like 4 or 5 hours, and I started to like develop some strategies, right? So like, I'm like waiting, I might pick a person, waiting for the ball to come to me, but also waiting for the other person to like rotate to me and like punch him in the face, like stop him in his tracks. What do you think, from like the perspective of like, you know, the floor and the ceiling, what sort of ceiling do you think you have in terms of like strategy and skill and stuff like that?
Yeah. So, in terms of strategy, I think I've got 14 hours logged on Steam, and that's just on Steam. I've played so much more like through the Godot editor and stuff. But like, you know, I've just scratched the surface. I'm working on a video for release day, and I tried to like go through all of my strategies and figure out like, what are the kind of advanced techniques? I only came up with like 5 things, but I know that like once it's out there, people are going to be like, you know, suggesting like, oh, there's this other strategy I came up with, you know? So I think that there's going to be quite a high skill ceiling. And I'm hoping that, like, just by, you know, virtue of people enjoying the game, we're going to form a community of people who can kind of work together to build a fun time for people.
I
think the skill ceiling is right now I can't beat the medium AI. So like I can beat the medium AI like maybe half the time, and then the hard AI, which you both probably played an older build where there was a hard AI and that was it. But we made the hard AI impossible because I couldn't beat it at all. And I've beat the new hard AI once. So it's there's going to be a lot of room for skill, I think.
Yeah. I'm going to have to try the latest build. And so, by the way, it is pronounced Godot. Is that how you pronounce the engine?
That's how I say it. Yeah, Godot. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I always called it Godot.
I had no idea.
Russ, but you're a linguist.
That's true.
Yeah. I'm going to go with Gardner.
Okay. Godot. I like it.
All right.
How was that experience with Godot? I know, you know, obviously Unity has had some bad times in the news, to their own fault, their own doing. But how has Godot been for you?
So for me, the choice was not between Godot or Unity. The choice was between Godot and Phaser JS, which is like a browser-based thing, because I'm a fan of open source, and I don't like the idea of using like a proprietary game engine. But Godot has its quirks, but it is also like extremely powerful and very flexible. We have been like combating an issue with like aspect ratios in Godot. And like we originally wanted to support 16:9 and 16:10 for the Steam Deck. Mm-hmm. But we were fighting it so much. And we had to make so many like decisions that added so much more work that we just said 16:9, that's it right now. Maybe down the road when we have a little bit more time, we're going to add 16:10 back. But like, you know what I'm saying? There's just quirks between different technologies. But like I said, Godot has been just an excellent thing to work with. So I'm a big fan.
I just remembered, you didn't only just do the art, but your voice is in it. So you're the announcer, as it were.
Yes. Yeah. I do the announcer, and I actually, we have a second announcer in the release version, and it's actually my girlfriend. So
sweet.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. And it's interesting because like I was used to it just being my voice, and so I muted it because I was kind of annoyed with myself.
Of course, right. Yeah.
And then I went to test it with Emily's voice, and it just threw me off. I was like, oh, whoa, that's a totally different feeling. But it's cool because down the road, we're going to be able to add new announcers and stuff too. So it's great.
Did you add the option to like own, like if I just want to hear Gardner, I don't want to hear Emily, I just want to hear Gardner. Can I do that?
Oh, yeah. It's a toggleable setting. So it's one or the other. It's not a mix of both.
All right. Awesome.
Yeah.
And then 99-cent DLC to get Rich as the announcer.
I'm in. I'll do it.
Yeah, that sounds fun.
That's great.
I like that idea.
I feel like the Steam Deck was like a big part of your planning this, right? Like you just mentioned the aspect ratio, not just Steam Deck, but then Steam itself with like remote play. Like clearly, this is something where, you know, remote play is a big deal. Remote play together is a big deal because, you know, this is a couch co-op game, but you're not always going to be on a couch next to someone. Can you tell us about that process, especially, you know, what it was like to implement those features?
Yeah. So the nice thing about remote play together is that like you just have to click a button in Steam's backend and then your game supports it as long as, you know, it's a two-player local multiplayer game. And especially with like our game where it's one screen, you know, you have one screen with like 12 doodlings or however many is at the bottom. You know, there's no like split screen you have to deal with when you're doing like a, you know, multiplayer first person shooter or something. It just worked. And it continues to just work. And you can actually set up a remote play together session on your Steam Deck through the quick access menu. I've actually done that sitting out here in the living room with my girlfriend on her Steam Deck. And so we've been able to play on separate screens. It's pretty great.
Oh, that's almost like, I mean, yes, you're you're going over the internet, but it that like you're sitting next to each other and playing that game. It's almost like you're doing the Nintendo Switch ad hoc network thing.
Yeah.
That was one of the things that I have always lamented about, like that we don't have on the Steam Deck is like the download play for the DS and 3DS. Mm-hmm. But you know, remote play together is the next best thing for sure.
Very cool.
Do you have any plans to do like other graphical options, like an 8-bit filter or like a 16-bit filter? Because like right now, it very much reminds me of like late 90s, early 2000s Flash animation art style. I'm curious, are you planning on doing any other stuff?
Yeah, so when I was like designing the art, my kind of inspiration was like SNES PlayStation era, like 2D graphics. There's definitely room for something like a 8-bit version of all the graphics. I think we're more focused on features right now, but definitely like cosmetic stuff is going to be a big thing going forward for us as well.
Mm-hmm. And then as the developer, I have a question because a thought crossed my mind when I was playing, because you can use the triggers to immediately jump to the right side or to the left side for the doodling that you're controlling. And I thought, oh, I can make a safety button using Steam input where I could hit a button on the back of my controller and it would automatically switch to that character and jump at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't done that yet, but it occurred to me that I could. And I was like, would you as the developer consider that cheating?
If you're an athlete, you know, the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
I don't think I would consider it cheating because there isn't like network play per se. There, you know, there's remote play together. And so like I think the social pressure of like playing with people that you know is going to keep them honest. When we want to add like real authentic network play down the line, that's maybe that would be cheating at some point. But also I think that could be detrimental with how fast the game moves. And if you use one button to move, like to dash to the right and then jump, that could possibly do more harm to you than good, I think.
Interesting.
Yeah.
But it is funny because I cheated too. So I don't remember. I don't know if you remember me telling you about this, Gardner, but I mapped. So like in order to move left, right, I think it's bumper, right? You press left bumper and you move left one person. So you have to, if you know you want to move like six spots to the left, you have to tap it six times.
Mm-hmm.
What I did was I mapped left to counterclockwise on the analog stick.
Ooh.
And I mapped right to clockwise on the analog stick. So if I want to move right six times, I'm basically just, you know, rotating it a full turn and then like a half turn, something like that. So that was so much better feeling for me. But it can also, I imagine, be more confusing, right? Like it's easy to tell a player to just press right. But the analog is trickier to tell the person, but it felt so smooth for me.
Mm. Early prototypes of the game actually had the top half of the analog stick divided into discrete units. And then you would just select which doodling based on where the analog stick was.
Yeah.
That worked well, but also didn't at all. So we just simplified it. But you know, I remember you telling me that, and I actually really love the idea of using Steam input to do that.
Yeah. I'd really like to see or hear for like, I'm imagining that Rich is doing this and he's moving he's doing this with the stick. I would like to hear the characters switch from character, like a as you're
doing it. That's a good idea.
Tick, 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 tick. Like you could hear that feedback and maybe even do like haptic feedback. You could do it on the trackpads. That would be really cool.
I would love to hear their names. You know what I mean? Like to name each of them, like Bob, Bill, Frank, or whatever. And they like they say their name as they pop over, you know, like, hey, Frank, or whatever.
I like that. That's a good idea.
I like that. I was thinking the haptic would be good if you're doing like the the rotation clockwise, counterclockwise thing. That would be great. Yeah, there's a lot of options. And I think it'll be cool to see what the community comes up with for controller input as well. Rich, since you told me that we've added like rollover, I don't know what you call it exactly, but like you hold the button down and it'll click through the dude lens.
Oh, nice.
Which is really nice.
Yeah.
That we just added that like two nights ago, actually. So nice.
Yeah, I think this is going to be the major draw is like once people get it in their hands, all the input you're going to get. If you think about all those like beloved games, like say like Vampire Survivors or something, it started out very humbly. And then just all the input from people loving it turned it into this kind of massive game now. And so, yeah, I'm excited to see something like that.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm really excited to see like what strategies people come up with and other ways that they want to see the game improve. Yeah, it's just going to be a lot of fun. And I'm super nervous, but I'm really excited as well. So
also, you know, partner with like Yacht Club Games to get Shovel Knight as one of your doodlings. Like people could get like clothes for their doodlings to put like, okay, this one's Shovel Knight. This one's Master Chief. This one's, well, probably not Master Chief because Xbox, but you get what I'm saying.
Nintendo IP, really cool. Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, get Banjo-Kazooie in there.
Italian Plumber. Just have a character named Italian Plumber.
Yeah, his hat instead of an M has IP on it.
Oh, yeah, because you have a bunch of, like, stuff happening in the background. It's like, was you called Nintendo the Fun Police or something?
Yeah, there's a few. there's two maps where it's like in a stadium, and we're kind of like we're having a lot of fun with the idea that this is like a sporting event. So there's like fake advertisements in the background for brands that don't exist, and I've had fun coming up with them. There's one of them said "Big Oil keeping your gas lit."
I saw that one.
Like like silly kind of fun ones, and I had a blast coming up with those. So.
I know I'm glad to see the soundtrack is going to be available too, because that was one of the things I mentioned to you. I had never heard of, sorry, what's the band? The Brothers Nylon?
Yeah,
they rock. So yeah, can you tell us about that?
Yes, Brothers Nylon absolutely rock. I have been a huge fan of them since before I even had my own YouTube channel. I don't know how exactly I found them. It might have been like an old, like they did a cover of like Donkey Kong music. And I was like, I think I might have found that first. And I was like, oh, wow, this is great. And they're just kind of like this psychedelic, like super funky, progressive funk weirdness. And it's awesome. And they did the theme song for my YouTube channel a while ago. And I was like, if I ever do any other project, like if I make a movie or if I do a video game, I'm going to have them do the soundtrack because they just are amazing. And I reached out to one of the guys and I was like, hey, do you want, I'm making a video game, do you want to do it? And they were like, absolutely. So
heck yeah.
Yeah, it's been really cool to work with them. And I actually just commissioned another song from them because we added a new map that after we already got the full soundtrack from them. So yeah, that was fun. And it's going to be available on Steam and it's also on Itch. And yeah, it's great. I'm super happy that there. I feel like when was his name Sean Murray, the guy who did
No Man's Hello Sky. Games.
Yeah, yep. When he got up on stage at E3 and he's like really nervous. He's like, I'm super excited to announce that you know whoever is doing my music, and I'm like, and nobody. He was like expecting the audience to cheer, and nobody was like, nobody knew who it was. I feel like the same thing. I'm like, my favorite band ever is doing the soundtrack to my game. And nobody knows who they are. So
yeah, well, they should. They sound awesome. So and so does the soundtrack.
I got to admit that I was listening. I was listening to a podcast while I was playing, so I didn't actually notice the music at all. Now I'm going to have to jump back in there. And I also have to admit that the first time that I played, I didn't realize it was you until I went into the settings and I saw the options. I was like, oh, and I like that you named, you know, Gardner and Emily instead of male, female. Like that's funny. It like jumped out at me as like, oh, okay, that's very cool. And gives you more options for other voices later.
Yeah, I debated on calling it male and female versus Gardner and Emily. I felt like it might have been too much of an ego thing to put my own name in there, but you know, it made more sense, I feel like, because we're going to expand announcers. I think that's like one of the next things we want to add. So having it actually labeled properly made sense.
Very cool. All right, let's tell everybody where they can find, obviously on Steam, but if they want more information, tell them what they got to do.
Yeah, so you can follow my YouTube channel, Gardner Bryant. I'm going to have a video releasing the day it releases, which is yesterday for you guys watching. And you can also head over to my website, heavyelement.io. We have tons of information about the game there. It also comes out on itch.io. So yeah, really excited about it.
Awesome.
And thank you so much for having me on too to promote it.
Oh, absolutely. Congrats on the launch. I'm excited. Yeah, awesome. I was nervous about it because I was like, I didn't know anything about this game. And I was like, I didn't know that. I was worried it was going to be bad. I'm here to tell you, everybody, it's not bad. It's good.
Hey, you
it's
and a me good both. Game.
Yeah. Yeah. And I played it with my kids. I know we're going on to the next topic, but I will say I played with my kids, but also they really, because they were still trying to figure it out, they really enjoyed watching me play. And like at the time it was the hard AI, and it sounds like hard AI is even harder, but they were like, it was close and they were cheering me on. So they were fully into it.
That's awesome. That's really great to hear. Yeah.
Very cool. All right. Let's listen, everybody. We've got, I don't want to go directly from something that's so positive into something that is so negative. So before we talk about Sony's ridiculous decisions that they've been making lately, let's just talk about the games that we've been playing. We've been playing Doodlings. So definitely been playing Doodlings. Russ, what have you been playing this week, man?
Yeah, so crazy story about this. So just a couple weeks ago, I did a charity auction for like some of my older devices. And one of them was my old like original Steam Deck. And I love this thing. I played it so much. I sent it to a guy and he got it and the screen wouldn't turn on. And we tried all sorts of troubleshooting stuff, couldn't get it fixed. And so I ended up having him send it back to me. And then I went and I bought him a new one. And so now I have the Steam Deck that doesn't have the screen working. And so I thought, okay, do I want to do a 12-hour marathon session like Bill did to change out the screen? Or am I going to like, you know, like RMA it? Like, what do I want to do? And finally, I was like, you know what? I'm going to put it against my TV, like in the living room, just put it in a dock and it'll just be a mini PC hooked up to my living room with like Steam and all that stuff with it. And so I did that and I ended up playing like 4 hours of Hades the day I set it up, which is crazy for me. I never like play that much. But the reason why I brought it up is because I finally did the like real ending of that. You have to beat it 10 times in order for it to actually see like the credits rolling actual ending. And so I finally attained that after 2 years of playing this game. And so, yeah, it was awesome. And I'm very ready for Hades 2 now. And so, yeah, a lot of fun. I always talk about, oh, yeah, you can always hook this thing up to your TV and use it in your living room. But I never do that, you know. But now that I have a dedicated like Steam Deck for the living room, I'm like, man, this is pretty awesome. You know, obviously I load it up with a lot of lightweight games. That way they'll scale correctly with my 4K TV and stuff. But Hades was a perfect example for that. Yeah, it was great.
Russ, I think you made the right decision. Different black screen problems. There are various different black screen problems, right? But the one that I've heard of, which sounds like what you have because you're able to dock it, I don't think you can replace the screen. Like, I think you replace the screen and the problem persists, which is really bizarre. Like, you would have spent all of that time and still not a working screen, which would have hurt. Docking it is so smart. Yeah.
Gardner, it feels
go ahead, Russ.
I was going to say it feels a little wasteful that I have like this almost perfectly good Steam Deck and I'm just hooking up to a TV. But it's been a great experience. So sorry, Bill.
That's okay. Gardner, did you ever replace the screen on a Steam Deck?
I haven't replaced the screen before. I've replaced like the joysticks and a few other things, but the screen seemed like a bridge too far for me.
What about you, Rich? I can't remember if you did. I know that both Carrie and I did.
Yeah, I did not. I was going to replace with a Deck HD, but I just never got around to it. And yeah, it's one of those things where you have to allocate. Like, Bill, you were on stream for 8 hours. Is that right?
Or it was more? It was close to that. I can't remember exactly, but it was really like, I was like, I was so stupid. Like, this is the kind of stupid decision making that you should never, ever do. I was like, you know, I think I want to swap. I want to do this shell swap on my Steam Deck. Mm-hmm. You know what? The only way that I'm going to do it is if I have to do it. And so if I'm streaming, I don't have a choice in the matter. I have to finish it. So I'm going to do it live. And I was full of regrets because it was a terrible experience. Don't bother replacing in the screen. Just don't take your Steam Deck apart, kids. Not that far. It's too much. Yeah. It's too much work.
It was a good message too, right? Like, you're like, if I could do it, anyone could do it, which is very fair to say, but I definitely watched it and I'm like, okay, well, if I'm going to do this, I need to because I figure like I'm about the same skill level in terms of like hardware, right? Like I'm going to need about 8 hours. And
no, you're way higher than me.
In terms of hardware, I don't do a lot of like hardware stuff. I built my computer, but that's it, right? Like I'm not someone that's doing mods. I did do like the Xbox 360, like you put wrap a towel around it. I started there and then I ended up having to, you don't remember that? Red Ring of Death. The problem was that the board was like flexing right under heat. So like you had to basically re-overheat it so that the board would like straighten out if it worked, right? So I did that. I wrapped the towel. Anyway, my point is, and then I opened it up and replaced the whatever. But like, I don't love doing hardware stuff. I don't consider myself very good at it. So I think it would take me about 8 hours. And you know, I remember you were pretty annoyed at the end of it. So I would
Bill had to take breaks. You know what I mean? Like, I gotta go to eat something and stuff. I'm like, okay, if you have to get sustenance in the middle of changing this, then that's too much work for me.
That's too much work. So that detracted me.
Well, public service announcement. Hey, kids, stay away. Rich, what have you been playing this week, man?
So still a ton of Balatro, but I did play Drawful 2 with my kids this morning. That was a ton of fun. Yeah. And some of the things that like, you know, come up are not things that my kids know. Like one of them is 7 years old and one of the prompts was like Jack Johnson. I'm like, how do I communicate this? So I just put up a picture of a person. And if you haven't played Drawful, each of the players that are playing get a prompt and they get to doodle what they think the prompt is, or you know, provide a doodle for that prompt, kind of like Pictionary, right? Mm-hmm. That's the first sort of round of the game. And then the second round is the game takes turns showing each of the person's doodle, and each of the other players get to type in what they think the prompt was for that doodle. So if it's like, you know, a tombstone, maybe I'll say graveyard, or someone will say grave, right? And then the final round is, and this is all pretty clever because the final round will take the options that people wrote alongside the actual option and maybe a decoy. And so you have to figure out from these, which one was the correct prompt. So if you guess the wrong one, but it's something that someone else wrote, that person gets points. If you guess the correct one, then the person that drew gets points because they drew it, you know, well enough that you picked the right prompt. So everybody gets points, but there's still a winner at the end. And so it just feels very collaborative, but also, you know, you still get to have a little bit of that edge.
There's a game that's, I mean, it's a Jackbox style game, right? But there's a there's a version of this, and I don't remember which Jackbox that it's in, but at the end you can order t-shirts that have drawings and the phrases on them. And like, so like we had a family gathering and we played it, and I don't remember exactly what it was, but I ended up buying the t-shirt for my soon to be son-in-law. It's just a goofy picture, and then something that we were all laughing our rear ends off And so I was like, well, I'm buying that t-shirt. And then I gave it to him for Christmas one year. And we all laughed because there was an unexpected kind of gift. So that's a very cool game. Gardner, what have you been playing, man?
So I've been playing a lot of Doodlings, but a couple weeks ago I did a video where I used the DVD drive to install games on my Steam Deck. And I've been playing a lot of Black and White 2, which is Abandonware, and it's not available on digital distribution platforms. So I've been playing a lot of that, and it works really well on the Steam Deck. It's pretty cool.
That's impressive.
That's really old school.
Yeah.
Very cool.
It was young adulthood.
I remember playing Black and White, and that's the one where you had the big monsters, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It's like a god game. Yeah.
Yeah. And is that Peter Molyneux, or am I thinking it's the wrong guy? Okay.
Yep.
Very cool. How many hours are you into it, and does it hold up this many years later?
It is surprisingly good. It holds up very well. It's kind of right on that threshold where games were terrible before, and right around that time they started getting really good. They figured out 3D camera controls and stuff like that. It's hard for me to go back to the first Black and White, you know what I'm saying? But this one is really good, and it has a lot of RTS elements, which I'm a big fan of. And I don't know, I think I might have 12 hours in it over the last maybe month and a half or two.
Oh, I remember the first one had the glyph drawing, right? Does this one still have that?
There's gestures you can do. Yeah.
Yeah. Are you using the trackpad for those?
Yeah, I'm playing it. Actually, I have it set up on my desk with a mouse and keyboard right now. So I like to play on my CRT television over here with my Steam Deck.
Like a real CRT?
Oh, yeah. I have a Sony Trinitron the HDMI port on the back. It's a widescreen. It's the last CRT Sony ever made. It's amazing.
That's awesome.
That reminds me, Bill and Russ, right? Remember we had that CRT discussion a few weeks ago, CRT shaders?
Filters, mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I mentioned this on the Steam Deck HQ podcast. So I was on this last week. And I played the Robotnik Ring Racers game, the fan game. Have you guys seen that? It's a new fan game. It just came out. And it's actually available as a flatpack, so it's pretty easy to get to grab on Steam Deck. That game, it's weird because I felt like I needed the CRT shaders for that game. If you fire it up, it's actually pretty harsh and pretty sharp edges, these sharp edges on the pixels or the graphics, right? So by turning on the CRT shader, it actually looks so much more pleasant. So I don't know, I haven't asked them anything. I haven't even looked into the background of it. I'm like, did they do this on purpose? Because it looks a world of difference between when you have the shaders off and have the shaders on.
That's interesting. And I can't remember, you were anti-shader last time.
I was team clean pixels.
All right, Gardner, line in the sand. You got to make a decision, shaders or no shaders.
If it's 2D art, I prefer raw pixels. 3D art, most of the time, low res, I prefer shaders for sure.
That works. Fair. That works.
Yeah, that's fair.
You mentioned that you dig RTS stuff. I have been playing Manor Lords, which is $30. It's on Steam. And I have not been playing it on my Steam Deck. I've been playing it actually on my laptop and on GeForce Now. This game is really cool. It's apparently made by one guy. And I guess he's been working on it for 8 years or something. And it is a city building kind of game. The things that I really like about it. Number one, I adore watching the townspeople just working. I'm like, I want to have a lumber mill here or something, and just watching them build it. It's not just click and then it pops in. They walk over and they have to tie logs to the back of oxen. And you only have so many oxen in your town. So if they're tying logs to the back of the oxen in order to bring those logs over to build the mill or whatever, then they can't do other things with those oxen. So there's a lot of management that happens there. The weather effects look really cool. Like when it was like, I haven't hit winter yet, but when it was raining one day and I was like, oh man, that looks beautiful. And then you don't hire like mercenaries like we're seeing on screen right now. If you're watching this over on YouTube, you basically assign people to be that job. And then when they have to go do a thing, they are not doing their other job in your town. And like, you have to manage their happiness. And if their happiness is high enough, then you are able to, you know, have more people come to town. You got to pay attention. Okay, we need more fuel. I guess I got to make sure that I build this thing. It's really, really cool. It's in early access, and I am a fan of this game. And I definitely think that people should pick this up if they have the chance, especially because it's only $30 right now. And it's very robust. You can also zoom way in and get like over the shoulder of individual townspeople and watch them do their stuff. That's cool. Perfect cozy game, and it's got really relaxing music and it's awesome. I'm loving Manor Lords.
So how about this year and all of these like surprise hits, right? Like Manor Lords, Pal World, of course the one we're going to get into, Helldivers 2. Mm-hmm. But yeah, this year has been, I don't know, it's been special in a different way. So happy to see these hits.
None of these games would have been on my games to look out for in 2024 list at all.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I hadn't been watching Manor Lords at all. And I just saw that everybody was talking about how great it is. And I was like, well, it's on Game Pass. So if you have Game Pass, you don't have to buy it. Last week, I said that I had bought it. And I was like, and then Carrie told me that it was on Game Pass. And I was like, oh, I'm going to return it. I decided I'm not going to return it. It's good enough that I'm keeping it anyway, because that way I'm not locked to, Game Pass, and then suddenly it disappears, and then my save file goes with it or whatever. So I figured I'm just going to keep it and keep playing it, but it's great. But hey, that's the perfect transition to the game that, honestly, I mean, what date did Helldivers 2 come out? Does anybody, not the exact date, but like, was it this year or was it last
February,
year?
February, so February like 8th. So I'm writing about this and I was like, they haven't even had a chance to like celebrate their third full month of success at this point. Mm-hmm. So,
well, yeah. Okay. So I'm going to read this post from their official Twitter, and this is so bad. So it says, attention Helldivers, due to technical issues at the launch of Helldivers 2, we allowed the linking requirements for Steam accounts to be a PlayStation Network account to be temporarily optional. That grace period will now expire. See below for details in this post. They say account linking plays a critical role in protecting our players and upholding the values and safety and security provided on PlayStation, PlayStation Studios games. That sentence right there totally reminds me of the PS4 era when they were like, we don't want Fortnite to be multi-platform. We want to protect our players by not letting them play with other people, which is just BS, absolute BS. They then say that they want to be able to ban people, which is fine. You get people who are jerks. Absolutely, you want to be able to ban them. If making the PlayStation account linked to your Steam account makes it easier for them to make sure that they can ban the jerks, I am for that. And my Steam account and PlayStation account are already linked, so what do I care? Then they go on to say, as such, on May 6th, all new Helldivers players will be required to connect their account. And you have everybody else will be required to have linked them by June 4th. PlayStation Network accounts are free and easy to set up using this link. we'll see. And then they say, we understand this may be an inconvenience to you. You know, many thanks for supporting Helldivers too. So here's my initial reaction to this. A, it doesn't affect me. I bought it on PlayStation and that's where I'm going to keep playing the game. It's a great game. I'm unaffected by this. That being said, if I had bought this on Steam and I haven't, and I'm not actively playing the game right now, and I don't link my accounts by June 4th, maybe I don't look at my email very often. What happens to my game after June 4th if I didn't meet their deadline? Because they're like, what are they going to do? Call me and say, hey, Bill, you know that game you bought? You better link it up. A lot of people might not even know about this. Gardner, have you played Helldivers 2?
I have not. But at the same time, I see something like this and it makes me furious. This is like a bait and switch or a rug pull, in my opinion. Like, I don't think, as far as I saw, they say that like at X date or at some point in the future, you have to connect a PlayStation account.
Yeah, they said that they said you have to connect to your PlayStation account by June 4th.
You mean? Before that.
I mean, originally, so, yeah. Like when they first put the game on sale, was that like detailed in any way?
So the timeline goes a little like this, as far because I just did the research for this. So when they launch, and I there's a lot of a sentiment of that this is a rug pull, and I think I'm in agreement at this point, right? After all the research I've done. So when the game launched, the login was required. But the game was so popular that you remember all the server problems, right? So one of the things they did to mitigate that was they disabled the required login. On the Steam page, it said that the login is required. But on the FAQ for PSN on PC, it says that not for Helldivers on PC, just PSN on PC. The FAQ says that some games will allow you to log in to PSN, but it will be optional. They've since changed that over the weekend, right? They changed that answer. So it now says some games will require you sign in. To your point, if you bought it during the time that it was disabled, that login, there was a little notice on the Steam page that says this requires a Sony third-party login. But you could have missed that, right? Because there's nothing when you launch the game, there's nothing when you add to cart and you go to checkout. So you could have easily missed that little box. But even if you did see that little box, I've seen this all the time, not with third-party launchers, but a detail on the Steam store page that is wrong, right? So if I saw that detail and I launched the game and it tells me I don't need a login and I'm just playing Helldivers 2 and I've played now for 50 hours, 70 hours, you know, I would feel like the deal has been changed at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm looking at it like right now, let's say that, you know, I heard all of these great things about Helldivers 2. And so I fire up Steam and here's Steam on my screen for the audio listeners. I'm bringing it up on
overwhelmingly. I didn't realize it was to overwhelmingly negative. So I think as of this morning, it was mostly negative. So
it's really getting dragged. You know, I go to buy the game. Everybody's talking about how great this game is. So I go to buy the game and I scroll down to here and I hit add to cart. Notice for the audio listeners on my screen, nowhere does it say that it has, I also have to sign in to Sony's thing. I have to scroll down further for that. Now, you could argue that, hey, you should scroll down further and read everything. Do we all really do that? Like, Russ, when you're buying a game, do you scroll through everything and or do you just say, oh, you know, Bill said that this game's really good, so I'm not going to buy it. But Rich said that this other game's really good, so I'm going to buy that.
Yeah, to be honest, I often will ignore those boxes, even if they say something like the required login, because sometimes you buy the game and it doesn't require the login. Like, you know, say it's Cyberpunk or something. It's like, oh, you need CD Projekt Red login, whatever. No, you just go and hit skip and then you don't have to sign into anything. you know? Mm-hmm. And so I often just ignore those boxes because I'm like, I don't care about any of those third-party launchers or logins or any of that stuff. If there's a way for me to figure out how to play the game without doing that, I'm going to figure that out. And so that's exactly how I would have approached that too. And be like, oh yeah, sure. Sony thing, I'm not actually going to use it. And so, yeah, it's, this is just a big bummer. And we're not even talking about the people who are out of PSN coverage area where they all of a sudden now no longer even like they have don't have the ability to make a legit account in the country that they live in. They have to go and spoof it in order to be able to play Helldivers 2.
Which is against Sony's terms of service. So you could get banned on that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Go ahead, Rich. You're muted.
I was saying a little more detail as well is the security and safety piece, right? So you made a good point about banning users and stuff like that, but it just, that verbiage was just poor wording on their point and it rings hollow considering Sony's history, right? So I'll see if I can share. Oh, you got it. Perfect. Thank you. So they, April 2011, if you had a PS3 at this time, you remember this, hackers access personal data of 77 million Sony PlayStation Network users. Sony PSN was literally down for 24 days. Like, that's how bad the breach was.
Yeah.
It was completely down for 3+ weeks. And there are other instances here, like in November 2014, hackers steal 100 terabytes of data from Sony Pictures. I think we all remember, what was that, October 2023. It doesn't specify it here, but I think it's the Sony notifies employees of data breach, the Insomniac, right? Like the Insomniac Games leak,
right?
When the ransomware group stole that, and basically we got access to Sony secrets, details of upcoming games, things like that. So, like, Sony has been a major target, for hackers and whatnot. So, I think it was just poor wording to use safety and security, especially because all of this, at you know, the more I've read, the more it becomes increasingly clear. And you know, Arrowhead has said it themselves. Sony made this decision unilaterally, right? Like, they did not involve Arrowhead in this decision at all. And unfortunately, Arrowhead, their reputation is, at this point, is harmed, and now they're having to play crisis management behind Sony's decision, even going to the point of saying, you know, keep making negative reviews because that's going to help
us bomb our game.
Right. That's going to help us make our case. So, yeah, it's just really terrible. And then to Russ's point, there are the countries that you can't create a Sony account in. And now they've taken action on that too.
Well, not only that, but this is the thing. If you can't make a PSN account in these other countries, then why was the game allowed to be for sale in those countries? Gardner, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
When you know, put your game on Steam, are you the one that says, I want it to be available in these countries? Or is that something that Steam decides for you?
No, the developer decides what currencies and what countries the game is for sale in.
Yeah, so Arrowhead, I'm going to assume that Arrowhead had to do this, not the publisher, right? So Arrowhead sits down and they say, all right, we're going to put the game available in these countries, unknown to them that PSN is not available in those countries, because, like, honestly, that never occurred to me that PSN wouldn't be available in a country. Like, never even crossed my mind until this happened. So I'm guessing that Arrowhead's, you know, they said, well, yeah, let's put it in these countries. We want everybody to be able to play our damn game. The game takes off. It gets this, like, darling moment all of February and March, and people are just like, this game is amazing. It's only $40. It's incredible value. It's really, really well put together. They've got a guy making, like, crazy things happen to the universe while you're playing, and they're like, okay, we're gonna give you cars and trucks and helicopters and meteors, and all these things are happening in the game, and everybody's saying how great it is. And then Sony comes along and they said, you know, all of that awesome PR that we've been building up for this game, it's our best selling game on PC that we've ever put out, let's ruin that.
not just best-selling game on PC, according to Matt Piscatella earlier this week, seventh best selling Sony game, Sony published game ever. That still sounds unbelievable. So I feel like I have to reread that to make sure I'm reading that correctly. But like, yeah, that was what I read. Seventh best selling Sony published game ever. And of course, due in large part to PC. So,
right. Yeah. I don't remember where I read it, but somebody said that the PlayStation version of Helldivers 2 by itself so far was the best-selling game this year. Just the PlayStation version.
I think you're right, yeah.
And the PC version dwarfed that.
Yeah.
And Sony's just like saying, and they're doubling down because the game has been removed from those other stores. Now Valve is being absolutely
awesome. From those other countries.
Countries. Thank you. That's what I meant to say. Valve is being super awesome and they are giving people refunds who have spent over 100 or almost 100 hours in the game, which is well past what Valve has to do. So good on Valve for doing that. I have tried getting refunds from PlayStation before. It's a nightmare. And like my son had accidentally purchased something and I think that maybe they said this is the one and only time that we will refund you. Don't ever call us again. Basically.
Sounds like Sony.
Yeah. It's so bad. I just cannot believe that they did that. This game could have like won all kinds of awards. And now I don't think it'll even be considered because of what Sony's doing. It's just everybody's mad at them.
I hope that Arrowhead is successful in convincing Sony that they're going about this the wrong way and that there could be a right way to get back on track, right? And maybe getting back on track includes PSN accounts. Like I saw something somewhere where they could have thrown in some free skins and something like that. Like they could have couched this better, even if they felt like they needed to get people over to PSN accounts. And then, of course, there's just a matter of the areas, the regions that can't create a PSN account. So maybe they could have made it optional, like Dead Island 2 with Epic crossplay. So I just think that they didn't have that conversation up front. They made a decision unilaterally. And that really hurt them. I also say, does this tell us Sony's motivations, right? Because there's a lot of talk about this sort of being a way to bolster PSN numbers, like getting more accounts on PSN and what that means to investors and shareholders. But there's a reason that means something to investors and shareholders, right? That means something because investors and shareholders believe that those users can be monetized. So right. What is Sony's plan for monetizing those users, right? Does that mean a Sony store? What does that mean in the end, right? And I don't know that they know yet, but clearly they have plans, I think.
Well, it means that they can go into the shareholders meeting and they can say, hey, shareholders, we just got 2 million new accounts. And then shareholders are like, yay, we're happy. I think that I cut somebody off because I wasn't looking at the screen, but I heard a voice.
Yeah, I was just going to say, like, this is kind of business as usual for the AAA scene, right? I mean, EA did the same thing with adding EA Anycheat to, I'm blanking on the name, Battlefield, right? Like, they've done these, like, universal things that, I mean, to most people, it's not an inconvenience, but there are like select groups of people where it really does screw them over. Like with Battlefield, it was like Steam Deck players can't play the game anymore on their Steam Deck. It bothers me that like this is just business as usual. And I don't know what kind of impotent nerd rage I have to express to get this to change, but you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know. As a designer too, like I look at the Steam page, like you were pointing out, Bill, and it's like, yeah, those like cautionary badges should be like right next to the cart button, you know, it should be like right there. Like there should be a big old exclamation point, even if it's not like the full text of like what's wrong. There should be some kind of like, hey, just so you know, maybe when you add it to your cart, this game requires third-party activation or whatever. And
have a little check mark for each one of those little blurbs that you have to click. Yes, I understand that.
Yeah.
Or that's, it could even that's be like not a good idea.
It could even be like a user setting, right? Where it's like, what are the things that you don't want in a game? And we'll warn you about it when you go to check out. Like, that would be a great option to see. And it is fully in line with like the good guy Valve that I know. You know what I'm saying? Like, they would totally do something like that. So get on it, Valve.
Does Lawrence listen to this podcast? Lawrence, are you listening? Because that's really good UI. Yeah, he should do that. They should do that.
You know, I was thinking, like, how is Sony going to react to all this? Like, I can see a world where Sony is just like, well, we had a good run with Helldivers 2. People don't like it anymore. I don't know why. And then they just like move on and give up. You know what I mean? Like, I see that as being very Sony. Like, oh, people didn't like the PS Vita. Let's just abandon it. You know? And so... I'm interested to see in the next 2 weeks, like, how this all falls out for Sony. Are they going to actually make some sort of change, or are they just going to expect people to get over it?
I mean, the fact that they removed it from those other countries tells me that I think that they expect people to just get over it. If you go to SteamDB, I'm going to try and bring this up on screen. If you go to SteamDB, you can see that, you know what, the last week, still pretty stable as far as people are playing. This is what they're going to look at. Mm-hmm. They're going to look at, are we losing players over this? And if you just look at the week, it doesn't really look like they're losing players. If you look at the month, it's definitely going down. But this all of this stuff happened in the last couple of days. So that would be represented in the amount of people who are playing the game on the graph. And it's going down slowly, but that's to be expected for a live service game that's, you know, people bought it, played it like crazy for a couple of months, and now it's starting to fall off. I'm not seeing a reaction here. I'm only seeing a reaction, as you saw and pointed out, Rich, with the rating, because now it's down to 47%. That people like it. This number, 359,773 negative reviews, like, that's more than doubled in the last 2 days. Like, I saw, when this first happened, I saw a tweet that said 14,000 new negative reviews. Now that's over to like 300,000 negative reviews in the past couple of days. So they're getting review bombed. The CEO of Anchorhead? No, that's Star Wars. What the hell is this?
Arrowhead.
Thank you. The CEO, Anchorhead. The CEO of Arrowhead is on the side of the players, and he keeps posting things on social media saying, "Hey, listen, we're trying to convince Sony to do the right thing here, but it's out of our control." That sucks. It's just terrible. Anyway, I don't want to be super negative for too much longer. Anybody have any extra thoughts that you want to say about Helldivers 2, which 2 months ago I couldn't stop playing because it was so good? No? All right.
I think you covered it. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's move on. And let's take a break. Let's take a break and play a game. The guys have no idea what I'm doing today, but I'm going to play audio from a very old game. And you guys get to ask me questions and try and the three of you get to work together to try and figure out what game this is from. All right. Are you guys ready?
I'm ready. I'm so bad at this. Let's do it.
Okay. Well, hopefully we'll see if you can hear it or not, because maybe I'll have it broken, and we'll get back to the news after this. Here we go. So I'm going to leave that going in the background a little bit.
Yeah.
What do you guys, anybody have any questions for me?
It's so familiar.
Is it Konami?
Yes, it is Konami.
Is it NES?
It is NES.
Does the person have throwable? Does the protagonist have throwable? Weapons. Not the main weapon. The secondary weapon.
Boy, I don't remember. It's been so long. I don't remember that. Okay. I'm not sure. I can't answer that question.
Is it a Castlevania game?
It is not a Castlevania game.
Okay. My guess was Castlevania. Okay.
I know. That's why he said secondary weapon. I'm like, I was thinking Castlevania.
Oh, okay.
Oh, man.
Like Carrie said, it has that Konami tinge. It's a tinge it to it.
It is.
Is it like a brawler, like street brawler?
No, not a street brawler.
Is it a shooting game like Gradius?
No.
Does it have multiple games in the series on the same console on NES?
I don't know if there's more than one on NES, but the series absolutely continued on other platforms later.
Okay. Okay. I feel like I should know this.
I'm going to see if there's... I'm going to try and Google it right now and see if there are other ones on the NES.
Not a brawler, not a shmup. It's Konami. I want
to
hear it again.
I'm trying to think of all
you
my...
You want to hear it again? Okay, sorry.
Yeah. Is it Contra?
No, it's not Contra.
Yeah.
I'll give you one more guess and as many more questions as you want.
I'm trying so hard not to turn around and look behind me at all my NES games. Oh.
Was that an ambulance siren in the game there?
It was not an ambulance siren in the game.
That was my first thought.
Is it the first game in a series?
It is the first game in a series.
Comments are killing us right now, by the way.
Oh, yeah, I know. That's why I wanted to do this, is because people are going to be like, I can't believe these guys didn't get this on the first 5 seconds.
Okay. Can I take a guess?
Yeah, but it's our last guess.
Oh, guys.
These rules are very, seat in my pants.
Hold on. Wait, I got a question instead.
Yeah.
Is it a Kojima game?
It is a Kojima game.
Ah. Okay.
Ah.
That's easy, then.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So take the guess then, Gardner.
Well, I don't want to be wrong.
No, you got it. You got it.
Is it Metal Gear?
It is Metal Gear. Here.
Nice. Hell yeah.
You did it. Metal Gear. Very good.
Well done, Gardner. Yeah.
Nice. It was like while Bill was talking, I heard bleep, like the exclamation point. Nice. I was like, I think that's what it is.
Yeah, there was a second. There was a second game called, what do they call it? Solid Snake or whatever.
Yeah.
Revenge. But it wasn't made by Kojima. It was just like another Konami game.
All right. So listen, people who are listening to this or watching this, if you have ideas for what we can call that segment, let me know. Okay. Because I think that was fun. I like that everybody was asking questions. I need to flesh out the rules just a little bit more though. It's just something I thought of at the last minute.
Yeah,
all right.
That was fun.
Yeah. Let's move on to more news stuff. And we've got, Pierre Le Griffier. He posted this over on Twitter, to which Rich posted eyes, because this is some big news, and I was actually torn on whether or not I wanted to lead with this or what, and we'll see what happens in the edit of the podcast. But he said, thanks to Muhammad's work as part of our graphics team, GameScope now works on NVK with explicit sync. Need those in-flight patches for now. Rich, why are you posting eyes?
So I also don't want to get everybody too excited, right? But I think this is a necessary step. So there's been a lot of implicit explicit sync talk in the last 2 years, especially with regards to NVIDIA. But at least for SteamOS, right? For SteamOS to be available for all, explicit sync needed to work in GameScope with NVIDIA cards. So this is a huge step forward. I don't know if it's the step forward. Like, we may still have like four other hurdles that I have no idea about, but this was a huge hurdle as far as I can tell. And I want to hear Gardner's thoughts on this. This was a huge hurdle to clear when it came to getting SteamOS on other devices outside of the Steam Deck.
Yeah, it is. Correct me if I'm wrong, but NVK is the like the new open source NVIDIA Vulkan driver, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, so that's only going to work with, is it 4,000 series cards and newer? Or is it 3,000 series cards?
I don't know. That's a good question. I don't know.
I think it's three. It might be four, but I mean, so GameScope on other devices, like I've put like Chimera and a couple other, like a Bazite and a few other Linux gaming distros on different hardware. And really, if you put it on NVIDIA hardware, it's going to have a struggle. And so this is going to be a great step forward for Linux gaming distros, including SteamOS. There are a few other things that might get in the way, but yeah, this is like huge news. And the fact that this came from one of Valve's like developers, like, is a big deal, because it shows that, you know, even if it's Valve time, we're still going to get SteamOS for other devices.
And not only that, but if you rewind a couple of maybe a year, we saw Pierre-Luc Griffé talking quite a bit about HDR on, mm-hmm. you know, he was like, this is the stuff that we've been, you know, we're trying to get HDR working and stuff. And at the time, there was no HDR on the Steam Deck. So like, this is the kind of thing where he's it feels like he's setting out breadcrumbs.
Yeah.
Where when you get to the end point, you can look back and be like, oh, look at all those breadcrumbs that we've been following and not paying attention to. And he's leaving the trail for us at, you know, along the way.
Yeah. Right before he made this tweet, I made a video, or I published a video talking about 3.7, right? SteamOS 3.7 landing in the main branch. And one of the reasons I made that video was, or talked about that portion in that segment, was because there isn't that much in SteamOS 3.6. Like, there's some good stuff there. There's some performance improvements. There's a few good things, but it's not a lot. So I was like, why are they in a rush to kind of bring this up to stable? Other than the performance improvements, that would be pretty worthwhile. But why are they bringing this up in stable and bring 3.7 into main when there's just not a lot, especially compared to 3.5, which we'll probably never see an update like that again on this version of the Steam Deck. But nonetheless, yeah. So my thought could be that maybe 3.7 is starting to set that groundwork for SteamOS for all. So that's a leap, to be sure, but it seems possible.
What do you think, Russ?
I honestly see these things and I think it's pretty interesting, you know, like to hear the new developments, but I just want it to be working. Like, like the nuts and bolts part of it is like not a thing for me. I'm just like, all right, when is SteamOS going to be available on other devices? Like, just get to it. It's such a good business decision for Valve. You know what I mean? Like, they're just mm-hmm. going to get that much more people in the Steam ecosystem. And so I want to see it. But yeah, for mm-hmm. me, it's like hearing just that one initial development for me is like, all right, when's that announcement? Like, that's all I want to hear. So
see, for me, I don't care nearly as much about that as I do about Valve releasing a box. That I know right now Russ has a Steam box. It's hooked up to his TV. It's a Steam Deck in a dock with a screen that doesn't work. And that's great. But I want something that Valve ships to me that is basically a console that is a PC. And I can play all of my PC games on it. And I can just hook it up to my TV and never have to think about it. And I want it to be powerful. Like I don't want it to be like a weak system. The Steam Deck is amazing, but there's a lot of games that it struggles to run. And if I'm plugging it into a 4K TV, like 800p isn't really going to cut it. It just doesn't look very good when you're at a lower resolutions. But at the same time, I'm also very like, there's a lot of people out there when this happens, they're going to convert their rigs over to that, especially now that Windows is doing like their advertising on the start bar and that, like that nonsense. Talk about flying too close to the sun. What the hell?
yeah.
Careful, Icarus. Anyway, Gardner, if Valve does this, like, do you currently have a computer hooked up to your TV, or do you just play computer stuff and TV console stuff?
Yeah, I have a Minisform Neptune little box, and it's got like a Ryzen 9 in it. So it's a pretty great device. It's like, I think it has like the same thing that the Ally has, the same CPU. And it's really, really good. I have, I think I have Bazelite on it right now, or maybe Manjaro Gaming Edition. I got a build of that early. One of those. It's super great. It's so awesome to have a dedicated Steam Deck that can do like, you know, 1080 or 4K, and it doesn't flinch on the games that the Steam Deck does, you know. I love that. And so if Valve came out with their own dedicated console, you can bet I would be like the first in line to get my hands on it for sure.
Would you prefer to have Valve ship one, or would you prefer to have Valve ship SteamOS and just say, build your own and here's the software?
So I'm a little bit skeptical of like SteamOS for all, right? Like, or release to manufacture, right? Because there's two tracks that could go down, right? Valve either takes the Windows route and like makes hardware vendors support the hardware, or it takes like the Linux route where the distro does the support, right? Mm-hmm. And there's some interplay between the two, but like I'm skeptical that like Valve releasing SteamOS like to manufacturers is going to like result in a great experience for customers. Not saying they shouldn't do it, but like I would rather see Valve release a first party hardware, set the benchmark. This is what you can expect. You know, and even when they released like the Steam machines way back in the day, like it was a mess because they didn't set the benchmark. The Steam Deck did that, and it caused an explosion of like innovation with handhelds. And because of that, I think that handhelds could benefit from SteamOS as a distro, but I don't know. I'd rather see Valve do it firsthand, like first party release.
Yeah.
What about you, Russ? Would you want to build your own or just buy one?
It really depends on, you know, what Valve has to offer that makes it unique from the others. You know, if it's just like I have the Minisform Neptune, actually, that's what we're streaming from right now. Like, that's my main like mini PC here at the studio. I love it. And if I could just put SteamOS on it, I'd be happy, you know, if it all works and all that. And I'm not sure what Valve could provide that's going to be different other than just like a standard, like, you know, settings, like as far as it, like there's a specific benchmark that now people can work towards, like how there are Steam Deck settings now in a lot of games, because there's a standard like spec. Mm-hmm. And so if we have another standard spec with like a Steam box, then sure, that makes a lot of sense for me, because again, I want to remove all of those barriers. I want to have a console experience with PC games. Just, you know, sit down on my couch, push a button, start playing my game. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know if a Steam box would be able to overcome, like if there would be enough features for it for me to overcome the idea of the PC that I already have. So,
Rich, if Valve shipped one, do you think that they have to ship it with an updated Steam controller, or could they just say, bring your own controller?
Oh man. So I think they have to. So I think they have to from their own perspective, right? Like they are strong proponents of the trackpads and how that, like, clearly they're aiming to have their entire library playable, right? Like as much as possible of the entire library. Yeah. Awesome Steam controller.
Beautiful.
I just love this thing.
You don't get there without the trackpads, and they've done a lot to I don't use the trackpads very much anymore, right? Like first person shooters, I'm all into Flickstick and Gyro, and they've done a lot in that regard. But like, if you want to play Black and White too, right? Yeah, that might be hard to do with just analog sticks. So I think something like that, old school RTSs, Command and Conquer, stuff like that, like you need a trackpad at the very least. So I feel like they're going to feel obligated to have a Steam controller too.
Yeah, on that point, I will say, if you've never played Half-Life 2 with a Steam controller with Gyro, you owe it to yourself. It's a transformative experience.
Okay.
I've also played City Skylines on a sofa with a Steam controller, and it's amazing. I think it's almost a disservice to think about the trackpads as just an analog stick replacement, because with Steam input, it does so much more. And even just with the Steam Deck, like playing, what's that game? I'm blanking again. There's a game, kind of game? By I don't know. You have to right click in order to like control the camera. It's a BioWare game. I can't think of the name, but anyway, Dragon Age, that's it. So we have to right click in order to move the camera. And so you can set the capacitive touch on the right analog stick to act as a right mouse button so that you have full like analog stick control of the camera while you're playing the game, as long as you just touch the thumbstick. So I think that they can't, It would violate the declaration that they set out with the Steam Deck to not release the any eventual console with a custom controller.
Yeah, boy, there's just so many games out there that you wouldn't be able to play, and then they would have to come up with some other a secondary verified system if you don't have the trackpads. You know, because right now we have Deck verified. Obviously, they would have. I mean, if a game is deck verified, that means you can play it and it's just going to work, you know, and maybe not performance wise. Oh, and here's City Skylines being played on it right now. Like you have that ability to play that game because of that deck verified thing. Like it will run, maybe it won't run well, but it'll run and you'll be able to play it. And because of that, there's companies that are chasing that verified system. Like Fallout 4 just got verified on the Steam Deck. And in order to do that, that was actually kind of a double-edged sword because Bethesda removed the launcher. So now you can't change the options of your game, which is fine early game. But when you get to like the heart of Boston, you're going to run into some issues. So I do think that they need to ship it with a Steam controller. I hope that whatever they replace the Steam controller with, I hope that they replace it with something that has two sticks, a D-pad, and two trackpads, because I want to have all of the stuff just like my Steam Deck. Like I just want it to be a Steam Deck without a screen in the middle.
Two paddles? Well, four paddles?
That I don't care nearly as much about, but if they add four paddles in, I'm sure that there's going to be people that are happy. If they take two paddles out, then there's going to be people who are like, well, I needed those for this thing or that thing. And it's the good thing and the bad thing about Steam input is because you can do whatever you want. People come up with their own solutions and then maybe Valve has to play by their rules because people have these other solutions that they came up with. You know what I mean?
For sure.
As you were saying that, I was thinking, okay, if they don't use the back paddles, then they'll have room for other things on the back. So what if they put the D-pad on the back? I'm like, what would it be like to play with a D-pad on the back? Man. You know, like you use your finger. I don't know. Maybe your brain could make it work. I'm sure they're thinking those kind of things. It'd be pretty fun.
Well, there's those pro NES Tetris players that hold the NES controller like upside down, and then they wear a glove and they go tappity tap, 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 tap on the back of the controller to make very, very fast inputs. So yes, there's going to be people that can do that. I think a trackpad on the back makes a little bit more sense. And that's not, it's not that that's never been done before. Was the Vita had a trackpad on the back?
The touchpad on the back. Yeah.
That nobody cared about or used ever.
Tearaway. I think Tearaway used it.
Yeah.
The worst were the emulated games, right? Or remote play where you had to like tap the one corner on the one side or the one corner on the other side for like R2, L2. That was terrible.
Yeah. That was pretty bad.
Yeah. That's too funny. All right. So, hey, listen, SteamOS for all. I really hope that that happens at some point. Who knows if it ever will. But my aging computer is hooked up to my TV and I never use it because anytime that I go to use it, I always need a keyboard and mouse. And that's just really the thing that I don't ever want to have. And Microsoft doesn't care. It seems like they don't care about whether or not you have a keyboard and mouse because that's a niche scenario, having your TV or your computer hooked up to your TV, I think. So, you know, we look to Valve to consoleize the PC gaming experience. They've done it so well on the Steam Deck. I just want to see, I want to give you more money, Valve. That's what I really want. We've got a couple more news stories, but before we get there, we had a comment that somebody had sent in asking this question. They said, this is down at the bottom of the show notes if you guys want to read along. They said, "Hey, Bill, longtime follower since the Stadia cast. Love your content. Would really enjoy your opinion about getting an ROG Ally today coming from a Steam Deck. I'm looking to change mostly because playing games that I can't on Steam Deck like FIFA or Call of Duty, the things holding me back are the SD card reader issues. The ROG Ally coming soon. What's your opinion on getting an ROG Ally today? Thank you for your time." And that was from Mario Salgado. Thank you very much for the question, Mario, or Mario. I don't know how to say it. Russ, you're a linguist. He's got a little thing over the A. How do you say it?
I'm going to go with Mario.
Mario. All right. So thank you very much, Mario. Listen, Russ, ROG Ally, you're like, of all of the Windows handhelds, you like the ROG Ally the best.
I do.
Should he get one or should he wait?
I would say wait a couple months because I think that summertime is going to be the optimal time for an Ally 2. And I think that by then you'll have choice between the new one coming out and whether or not that's going to have some improvements to it, or the other ones will be on clearance. And so it's a win-win just by waiting a couple months. FIFA and Call of Duty are still going to be there in a couple months. And so that's what I would recommend at that point. The current SD card reader issues, I'm not really concerned about it now. They've made apparently some sort of hardware changes that have improved things, or maybe it's on the software side. So a lot of people are not reporting them anymore. And they've also extended the warranty for 2 years now for the SD card reader issues. And a full, if you buy it from them directly, they'll give you like a full return window for like 90 days or whatever, if you would just want to return and get your money back if you do have those issues too. So I think of all the, you know, it's not like they're not coddling us and giving us all of these solutions, but I think that's pretty good for a PC manufacturer to kind of extend the warranty and things like that. You don't usually see that kind of stuff. So yeah, I'd say wait 2 months.
Yeah, I would absolutely agree with that. Wait, I would not pick up one right now, and not because it's not a good system, because I do think it is a good system, but you're going to be hit with all kinds of regret as soon as they announce that new one. Especially like, how cheap have you guys, like Russ, I think you mentioned it recently, like the refurbished ones are all the way down to how much?
You can get like the cheaper Z1 version for like $3-ish, maybe $2.99 or something like that. It's ridiculous, the pricing, if you think about that. And so, yeah, the prices have gone down a lot. You just kind of have to surf around on Best Buy and see if they have open box options.
And those prices are, even those really low prices, they're going to drop like a stone once the new one comes out, because ain't nobody picking up the old one. Well, maybe you will. Gardner, do you have an ROG Ally?
I don't. I sent mine back.
Did you have the SD card issue?
No, I just didn't like it.
Okay.
I don't need Windows on a handheld. I don't need like 1080p or whatever the screen resolution is. I like 800p. And I honestly like the Steam Deck a heck of a lot more in terms of ergonomics too. Like, I just prefer the way it feels, but that's just me. I'm highly biased.
Going back to something else you said, Gardner, you said you have access to Manjaro, Gaming Edition, right?
Yeah.
So, are you, I'll try not to ask you something you may not be able to answer. Are you excited about the handheld? What is it, Orange Pi Neo?
I'm very excited about the Orange Pi Neo.
Okay.
That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah. Well, okay. Without breaking NDA or whatever, why are you excited about the Orange Pi Neo? You don't have to talk about the software at all. You could just talk about the hardware if you want.
Yeah, the hardware has... I don't know what I'm allowed to say, so I'm not going to say too much.
I'll tell you what I'm excited about, Gardner.
Yeah, that works.
I'm gonna save you. All right, so this 7840U, right? So similar to what's in the Ally. It's like the sister chip, right, Russ?
Yep.
Yeah, it just has the AI cores turned off in the Ally.
Right. Gotcha. Yep. The dual trackpad. So it looks very similar to the Steam Deck with just parity on all of those things. I'm a little worried from the pictures that I saw of like the build quality, but I will say the pictures I saw were like, I assume, prototypes, right? Like just stuff that people have that they're building internally. So I assume those are all prototypes. So, you know, right now it looks a little rough build wise, but hopefully once it's out, we get something a lot closer. But yeah, it's an Aya Neo, right? Like in terms of like the, what you get, but with a dedicated Linux gaming OS fashioned, I wouldn't say fashioned after SteamOS, but like, you know, inspired by what SteamOS has brought forward. They have their own like panel as well, right? Mm-hmm. Like a quick access panel. So what I've seen, I'm pretty excited about it.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I was going to add my foil to that. And that is that the ergonomics to that are very concerning for me. Like it looks so flat on the front that it feels like holding a sandwich. And then also that right trackpad on the bottom right like that. I have the Aya Neo Kun, which have the same location. And the meat of my hand would like press against the trackpad so often that it was like jarring to me. Now, I think that they are probably smart enough, unlike Aya Space, to actually have a toggle where you can just turn it off, because they don't have that in Aya Space and it drives me nuts. There actually is a toggle and it doesn't work. But anyway... I'm getting worse. Right. That's my one concern, is like the ergonomics of it. And like, can you hold both those trackpads and the triggers at the same time to be able to do like a first person shooter game? That seems like a bit of a claw grip. And so that's my foil to the excitement there. Sorry.
Yeah, I can see what you're saying. Definitely with the trackpad placement and stuff. I will say that the prototype photos I've seen, I can't share. They do look a lot better than the public prototype photos that I've seen in terms of like build quality and stuff. So the reason that I'm most excited about it is because it ships with Linux, and therefore it is a day one Linux device. And as a Linux nerd first and a gamer second, that's what's exciting to me. Like the reason I didn't really care for the any of the other handhelds I've tried is because they don't come with Linux on them. And so you have to wait like a month or 2 months for device drivers to hit the kernel, and then for Chimera and the other distros to like actually ship a new kernel. So this coming with Manjaro Gaming Edition is like the thing that I'm the most excited about. I don't know. I'm a Linux nerd. I'm sorry. I won't apologize. I'm sorry.
Well, you know, no, Russ, you mentioned the ergonomics, and I'm just looking at the Steam Deck again. And like when they came out, when it got announced, and everybody was looking at, well, look at how it's so weird that they had both sticks up at the top and they have the D-pad to the left of this stick and the face buttons to the right of the stick. And the B button looks like it's about to fall off of the Steam Deck.
Right.
Like that looked bad. But when I saw it, I said, oh, that's like the Wii U controller, which was really comfortable to hold. This is incredibly comfortable to hold. And this layout is, in my opinion, like you've got the Xbox fans that are like, I want to have my, not lined up. What's the
offset?
Offset. Thank you. I want to have the offset sticks. And you got the PlayStation fans that are like, I want to have my, what's the word I'm thinking of?
Symmetrical? I don't know what they call it. Inline or symmetrical.
Yeah, inline or symmetrical. This is the best solution, in my opinion. Like, this is so much better. Having the sticks be in there and then having both. It's just this, the symmetry makes so much sense. When you look at the Orange Pi Neo, and you know, there's links in the show notes for the audio listeners to look at this thing. Those trackpads are really, really low, and they made that sacrifice because it makes the device much smaller. Like, right. It's not nearly as wide as the Steam Deck is. But I think that you need to have the width in order to be able to use the trackpads for anything real, in my opinion. I could be wrong, and I hope to eat my words when this thing comes out, but I am not hopeful for this because, and I'm also not hopeful for it because I've seen, you know, the experience of using trackpads, and none of them treat the trackpads like Valve does. Like, only Valve does the Steam input thing. And Gardner, don't react, because I don't want you to get in trouble, but only Valve does the trackpads the right way. So I'm really hoping that Orange Pi Neo and the Manjaro Gaming Edition treat the trackpads the right way, because that would change things a lot. Anyway, anything else about this topic before we move on? All right. Good. And I did not mean to move that. I lost my show notes. I closed them and now I can't find them. All right. Here. Real quick, I want to talk about the Xbox Games Showcase, because that's coming up on June 9th. We're all roughly a month away from Summer Games Fest and all that stuff. And we've got the Xbox Game Showcase followed by a redacted Direct. Now, I have no idea what this is, but they've got it blacked out, and then they've got the Xbox Game Showcase, and then a thing with wolves, it looks like. Does anybody know what this is? What that logo is?
Apparently, it's Call of Duty. So, like, it's like fairly well known somehow that this is Call of Duty. I have no idea, but yeah, this is going to be a Call of Duty Direct.
So maybe a Black Ops thing, you know, Black Ops redacting or whatever.
Yeah. Oh, that makes sense. Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, now I'm a whole lot less interested, because I don't care about Call of Duty at all.
Yeah.
That being said, I'm always looking forward to, you know, the hype around the Xbox Game Showcase, and it's happening right around when E3 used to be. Are there any do we think we're going to see Fable?
Ooh.
What do you think, Rich?
What's the last we heard on Fable?
I know, that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah. The last thing that we heard about Fable is they showed the cutscene with Richard Ayoade, who was playing as the giant, and the lady was like running from him. But if you ask me, none of what we saw looked like gameplay. It was all just cutscene BS.
Yeah.
But Valve's been cooking on Fallout. What the hell's it called? Fable. Valve, for crying out loud. Microsoft has been cooking on Fable. I almost said Fallout again, for quite a long time now. And geez, it's been a while. Are we going to see this?
I have no faith. Like, I just don't. Like, at this point, what was it? Hi-Fi Rush, right? Like, I'm more excited about what I don't expect. And they drop. You know what I mean? Like, cause I don't know. I don't know with them. They have had just a poor track record. And I really enjoy Microsoft, but a poor track record on delivering, on those long-standing projects. So it just feels like,
what was that like Vampire Destiny game they made? Redfall.
Yes. Yeah. Redfall.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, just gone. All that to hate them.
You know what I would like details on? Crystal Dynamics Perfect Dark.
Yes. 1,000%. What happened to that?
2020 was the last time we heard anything about this. And it was just like an announcement trailer.
Yeah.
And I'm a huge Perfect Dark fan. And Crystal Dynamics is great. So show me the goods, man.
Yeah, they're just good for this, right? Like, they're good for a big announcement, and then it's radio silence for years and years. I know this one was canceled, right? But like Phantom Dust was another one. That was a while back now. Like, we're talking like 10 years ago, but they announced Phantom Dust. It went radio silent for a few years and then they canceled it, right? So Yeah, it's hard. It's hard to get my heart pumping for a new Microsoft announcement. I just wait until they release it, and they still release good games. I just have to wait until it comes out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think it's time to wrap up the show. I know that some of these guys have to jet out of here. So, Rich, tell me about your next video or your last video.
Yeah. So next video should be about Helldivers 2. Just going through the whole saga. So look forward to that. And I'm almost at 100K. So yeah, hit subscribe and hit subscribe on this channel.
YouTube.com/fanthedeck. Go over there, hit subscribe. We got to get that plaque on the wall behind you, man.
Let's go. Let's do it.
Very cool. Russ, what's next for you? You posted a video this morning, didn't you?
Yeah, I posted a video. It's like my favorite system, or my favorite handhelds to play each system. So like, what is the ideal way for me to play Super Nintendo and then all that kind of thing. And so that was a huge endeavor. I thought it'd be super simple. Just talk to a camera for 10 minutes and, knock them all out. That took me 3 days of work. I probably took 14 hours of footage because I had to take all these different handhelds, test them, be like, is this really the Super Nintendo one I want? And then and then half the batteries were dead, or the SD cards I had moved on to a different device. And so I'm like, going back and reinstalling OSs and stuff. So it was a lot of work, but it turned out well. And it was 35 minutes at the end of it. And I went everything from Game Boy all the way up to PS5 and Xbox streaming, basically. So yeah, that was fun. I have no idea what I'm going to do next. I'm going to clean the studio because I got a million handhelds sitting over there in a pile that I used for footage. So I'm cleaning today, and then we'll see what's going to be after that.
So I almost bought this weekend the RG Arc, just because I think it looks cool. Mm. What's your favorite system to emulate on that?
That I only use for Genesis, Sega CD, and 32X. You can do like 6-button arcade games on it too, like Street Fighter and stuff. But I don't know, the Sega games fit really well. The problem with that one is that it's not powerful enough to play Sega Saturn like reliably, and I want to, and that makes me annoyed, and so I end up not using it very much.
That's fair. Gardner, you got a video coming out, or you just want to focus on Doodling's? What's the tagline? Doodling sports ball?
Arcade sports ball.
Arcade sports ball.
Yeah. So I got a trailer dropping tomorrow for the game. And then Friday, I usually do Steam Deck news. And I have an upcoming video that I've been working on for like a month of like the best controllers to use with the Steam Deck. I think I have like 15 controllers that I'm talking about in the one video. So that's going to be really exciting. And I have no idea when it's going to be done.
Awesome. That's going to do it for us today on the Nerd Nest podcast. You guys could have been anywhere, but you decided to be here. And for that, I appreciate it. We will see you on the next one. Stay right, everybody.